just as much as people are alive 1 minute and are gone the next minute, just as much as people have everything seemingly going for them, and suddenly one wreck and the whole world has changed. That's what he means when he says, suddenly shall he come to his temple. I don't care how many things may be going bad. In the next 5 minutes, your whole mind could be transitioned by the Spirit that's in this place. One statement can drive a person to insane madness. One statement can drive a person away from their insane madness to the glory of forgiveness. It is amazing what can suddenly happen in this house. Tonight, he probably won't. But what if he should come before this service is over? That's the way it will happen. No matter if it's tonight or in the morning while you're eating breakfast, or next 10 years or a decade from now, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ are going to come out of their graves, and we which are alive and remain are trying to serve him. No, is anybody here perfect? I just need you to stand if you're perfect. Boy, Lauren pulled him down quick. Sister Lauren, thank you. I love that guy. Here's what I want to tell you. I walked to Calvary, a sinner. Got in the altar, and 2 minutes later, he'd already cleaned me up. Now, my habits didn't all change that quick, but my future did. I don't think some of you caught it. I said my habits didn't change that quick, but where I was focused on totally changed. I'm encouraging you to quit looking at your problems and looking to the healer. I'm encouraging you to quit looking at your past and look at your future, because Jesus is on your side. He may show you light, but that was never to condemn you. It was to invite you to your possibilities. He never shows you light to make you look bad in front of somebody. He shows you light so you can walk out of whatever history you have and gain your future. Because you weren't born to go to hell, and you weren't born to live in spiritual poverty. You were born by the breath of Almighty God to live in good quality thinking, good quality homes, good quality jobs, good quality atmosphere. Why don't you look at your neighbor and just give them the biggest grin you can come up with? We on his side because he's on our side. He invited us. And so tonight, for the next hour and a half, I'm going to do everything I can to talk you into being the person you were born to be. In the Word of the Lord, there are so many things that invite my attention. But tonight, I just want to look with you at Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I assure you that there's not one place that you are going to be in this world, mentally, physically, or spiritually, that he's not at hand. He does everything by invisibility so he doesn't embarrass you. So he said, I will guide you with mine eye. And everybody thinks that's your job. You just decided to come up here and help me. Isn't that awesome? This guy loves the fire out of me, and I certainly appreciate him. Doing that for me, when I talked in church, my dad would look back there and do that to me. And if I could catch his eye, and he would point at that front bench, and I'd go sit there, I couldn't talk there because I was by myself. He'd catch me talking in church. And if he couldn't catch my eye and motion for me, or if he'd get up here and lead the singing, he'd go. Everybody just thought he was in a real inspirational mood. I knew the difference. You got me? He said, I'll guide you with my eye. He never wants to embarrass you. But he's not beyond embarrassing you. If he can help you, he'll paint a picture. And so tonight, the Lord is at hand. Let's read some more here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then, watch this upscale, motivating statement. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He's given you some little commands, and then he gives you the reward of obeying those simple commands. And that is, your mind and heart will be protected. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, focus on them. And somebody say, squeeze on them. How many of you have ever thought that somebody didn't like you and you started squeezing on that thought till you thought, I don't care if they don't like me? You started out being hurt. And the more you squeeze on that idea, you begin to resent the person. They don't even have a clue you're thinking about them. Because the devil wants to play games with your future, and he does it through your mind. He would do anything he can to confuse you. He would do anything he could to make you think that this was not for you. I'm telling you, the Lord is at hand. He is faithful to forgive. He is as faithful to empower. He is as faithful to have mercy. He is as faithful to teach you or have grace on you. I'm telling you, you're sitting in the courtroom of one of the greatest judges in the world that wants to pardon you for anything you've ever done and walk you out the door and walk with you through the rest of your tomorrows, a free agent, a free human, and let liberty to live life to its fullest. Now, I don't know where you're going to go that can find a heart doctor and a psychologist, a mind transformer, and find somebody that knows how to go through this world and how to get you to another world that you've never seen. I've never met anybody like Jesus. And so I want to talk to you tonight about thinking. I don't know what your thoughts were that brought you to this house. Perhaps they were as wild as seeing what we're like, and to see if so-and-so still goes to church. I'm not sure, but I promise you God had a hand in getting you here, however he had to do it. It may have just been that you didn't have anything else to do and decide, well, I'll just go to the house of God. He is a great God, and he's a Lord that's at hand. Could we just praise him just for about half a minute? Thank you, Jesus, for caring enough to have everything in place for our benefit so that we can eat manna tonight and so we can enjoy the wealth of your kingdom. And so tomorrow we will not fight one battle that you're not going to help us to win. I thank you for that. So, I wish you'd just tell your neighbor the title of my message is Just Thinking. Sometimes people ask me, say, what you doing? I said, I'm busy. They say, busy what? You don't look like you're busy. I said, man, I'm thinking. That's one of the hardest things in the world to get yourself to do. Because sometimes our thoughts don't have a steering wheel. That's why we learn discipline. Now, I want to ask you a question. What will you really have missed if you don't live for God? Everything good comes from him. So everything that provides eventual disappointment will be something that you miss. What will you have missed if you do live for God and obey the voice of the Spirit? So that's what I asked myself when I was approximately 17 years old. I got the Holy Ghost when I was 9. Wasn't sure I got it because I kept being tempted to want to hit somebody. Kept being tempted to want to hate some people. So I wasn't sure I got the Holy Ghost. It was only in my mid-teens to later teens that I realized that the Holy Ghost had given me thoughts at critical moments in my life when my whole world could have been destroyed by perversion. And in that second, I'll never forget running like lightning at 10. I will never forget turning a would-be suicidal effort into something that was victorious by turning it into laughter. I will never forget the time when I was in Shreveport. Those three things stand out to me as times when the Holy Ghost just guided my thoughts. Let me tell you, don't underestimate the work of the Holy Ghost. Some of you have already missed some of the most devastating moments. You say, well, I'm looking at some of the devastating ones. You haven't seen all that the devil intended for your home and your family. You haven't never seen yet all the mess that he wanted to cause you to get into. Most of us have escaped a whole bunch of stuff just by being at church on every now and then. I'm telling you, there's some good thoughts just going to rub off on you every now and then. And a good thought can make a bad day a wonderful day. So I asked myself, if the story of the rich man in hell is not real, and it was just a statement, what if Jeremiah, whose voice now has lived for thousands of years, cries out to us about missed opportunities? Where men and women began an endless life of weeping and wailing that will never cease. How kind of God is it really to share with us a building with a pulpit and a living Bible that can offer to us, no matter where we've been and how many scars we have, he offers to us healing from anything that would cause the rest of our life to be degradable and absolutely filled with indignities. I'm telling you, he deserves a lot of praise tonight because he is a thinking God. He says he's made it possible for you to choose how you want to live. He said, I set before you life and I set before you death. You have the possibility. He says, I've made it possible for you to choose the word that espouses forgiveness and mercy, and then a power source that will cause your brain to reach ultimate levels of thought processes that will eliminate all the gutter life and will eliminate all the bashing guilt battles. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You're facing a decision and God is on your side, and he's not here to do one thing to cause your future to be pitiful or pathetic. He is here tonight to lift your heavy load. He is here tonight to take all of the guilt, the shame, everything else, and plant in your mind seeds that have possibility, that will cause you to jog through life and say, greater is he that's for me than he that is against me. The devil didn't stand a chance at the graveyard. If you even halfway believe Jesus resurrected out of that, then you can afford to believe what I'm preaching to you tonight. How great of God is this that offers you the choice, and he gives you the wisdom of life, and he lets you choose the poverties of life. So my final thought, as I came to all of these decisions, if all of this is true, I will only have missed a few nights of living in my own world, lying, cheating, committing all kind of sexual sins, all kind of dirty thoughts, all of that stuff. I mean, that's all I would have missed. And then I ask myself, what if this thing about forgiveness and being baptized by faith in Jesus' name. And by the way, we've got the baptistry ready for anybody that wants to be baptized tonight. And then I ask myself, what if heaven is real and hell is real? And when you go to hell, you never do die. You just go through life hurting, and you said you hated hurting. What if all of this is real? And you know, just thinking about that. You know, I'm trying to help you to make a good decision tonight, because it's what drove me at 17 years of age. I've watched enough drunken people come off of a drunk. I've watched enough sexual promiscuity to know that the joy of that moment don't last. I can't thank him enough for saving me from those memories. Some of you are burdened with those, and the devil tries to throw them up to you. Let me tell you something. Any thought that don't confess the forgiveness and the beauty of his mercy is a lying spirit. It's a demon of hell. You rebuke that spirit by the blood, the name, and I promise you that guilt has got to run down the street and find somewhere else to live. You don't have to live with your past. If you come to Jesus, I'm telling you, the blood cleanseth us from all our sins. But it is a battle you'll fight. But you can win it. But I thank God I don't even have to fight the battle, because I don't have a past like that. Because at 17, I remember thinking about these things. I remember when I decided. It wasn't a feeling. It was a decision. It wasn't about, I've been in services where I had a feeling and I went to the altar. But I would go back so often because it wasn't a decision. It wasn't a commitment. I'm talking about deciding which God we follow. Flesh or the Savior who came out of a grave. And life teaches us that. But I ask myself, you know, if heaven's not real, And if there's not really a real heaven, what will I have missed by living godly? And I decided there's not enough. I'll try to iterate some of it to you. Not only have I experienced phenomenal moments from right decisions, it's one of the most beautiful things in life to look at my wife and be able to know that the Holy Ghost has kept me a pure husband. This plan offers continued cleansing from mistakes, poor decisions, gratifying power to absorb all the pain of any disobedience. I have no problem encouraging all of my older and younger acquaintances, make your calling and election sure. You'll never regret living godly. You'll never regret living holy. You'll never regret living wonderfully in the purity of His power and His cleansing. You'll never regret shouting and dancing. If you get drunk, you're going to do it. And if you get drunk, you're probably going to do all kind of weird other stuff. And you're going to be absolutely without much discipline. But I'm telling you, both worlds have a good time for a short time. But the world that lives for God still keeps dancing in the middle of all the dark and all the stuff going on. I'm here to tell you, when you live pure, you live free. When I think about what's offered and the possible results, and let me just say it, you can run from here tonight, and you may never come back to this church or hear me again, but you're going to have one chance for sure, and that is to think about your future and think about where you could go and where the tomorrows could take you and where the yesterdays can be covered up by the blood of Jesus. If you have any bad yesterdays, repent tonight before you walk out of here by faith and get the blood on top of them, and they'll never come back to be able to put you in a prison house again. That's what forgiveness is about. It is freedom. That's the most wonderful thing that any human could ever experience. I gladly invite you to come to Jesus tonight, because I know what Jesus did for me, Brother Jim Lester. I know what Jesus did for me, Brother Tanner. I know what Jesus did for this young man. At 17, I made my decision, and that don't mean I live perfect. It just means I made my decision. So when I fail, I prayed myself back up. When I didn't get it right, I got back up, because I made a decision. I'm going to live for the King. I'm going to live servanthood. I'm going to live that way. And I'm telling you, it's been joy unspeakable and full of glory. I gladly preach to you Jesus Christ. I have no problem encouraging two wonderful daughters to live for Jesus. No problem, baby. You and your little sister, y'all weren't always angels, because we weren't always angelic parents. But I will tell you this, I never had a problem trying to tell you girls, He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I don't have time to think long until I know. I thought right when I made my way to Calvary and committed my entire life to God and His plan. Not only have I experienced phenomenal moments from right decisions, but this plan is greater than any insurance plan you could ever buy. It offers continued cleansing from any and all mistakes. It offers continued wisdom against all the poor decisions I've made. It offers gratifying power to absorb the pain of disobedience. I can't tell you how wonderful it is to be able to preach to you young people, and to you middle-aged people, and to you elderly people, that Jesus Christ is at hand. He's right here to help you with anything and everything. And He's got enough blood on the line He's got enough wisdom already procured. He's already built a heaven for you, and he's going to be disappointed if you don't come unto him and say, son, though your sins be as scarlet, we're going to get them all cleaned up tonight, buddy, and I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people, and we're going to run over the devil, and we're going to have a time on our way to glory. We're going to shout, and we're going to praise his name, and we're going to talk in tongues, and the devil's going to be scared to death for the church to get out of bed. The only thing you cannot outrun is your appointment with death. And just as sure as the graveyard has more people at Evergreen that are there than live in our city, every one of us are headed there. And after death, the judgment. I'm just here to help you think. Now, let's think about it this way. You are absolutely right. We all gonna do what we want to do. You look at your mom and dad. You can look at pastor tonight and say, look, I'm gonna tell you something. You're not making me do anything. I'll do what I want to do if it hair lips the devil. And that's right. And you will do that. But you cannot stop me from crying in the middle of your path and telling you about a man that backslid over in Fort Worth, that screamed his way out into eternity, screamed because as he lay in that bed suffering with cancer and a victim of death, as it was closing its arms around his life, he said, I got too far from the well. I got too far from Calvary. I got too far. And his closest friend, when he got off the elevator to go see him, all he could hear ringing down the hall, I just got too far away from it. I can't get back. I don't have enough energy. I can't hear no preaching again. I can't find the altar again. I thank God for some lessons like that. That some of my peers, you don't want to go so far that you can't feel his presence, that you can't see his eye. One of my favorite young men. You don't want to get to the place where you're so caught up looking at self that you can't see the eye of the Lord. You don't want to get to looking at your achievements and forget to look at him, because he's the one that controls everything. Thank you for having me. Well, coming to a close as fast as I can. When I committed my life to God, I asked myself two questions. If I do live for God, and I really give it everything I have, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't cuss, and I don't lie, and I don't run with those that do. If I give it all to him, and at the end, there really is no heaven, no hell, what will I really have missed? A few parties, a few promiscuous activities, maybe drunk. I don't know. I never did develop a taste for that. So I just didn't like being out of control. And I watch guys get drunk and ladies get drunk. I've never found anything around the altar that looked as awful as that mess. Never have I seen such abuse as that kind of life. I mean, the wildest jumping and hollering and screaming and praising God. I see that at ball games and other stuff. But it goes way beyond that when you get drunk and you take drugs and you're not in control. You're just controlled by junk. But the Holy Ghost has a plan. And he said, I'll lead you and guide you into more of these truths. So I asked myself, suppose there's not a heaven, not a hell. Nothing real bad. So I said, what will I have really missed? And then I asked myself the question, if there is a heaven and a hell, and I don't live for God, and I don't have the Holy Ghost or my rapture power in place. And then I look back over my life at 69 years of age, and I can tell you, Sterling, that I'm glad this lady and me have the opportunity to offer your mother a God that has proven himself. I'm never embarrassed, babe, to tell people I'm a Christian and that I try to live godly. I haven't succeeded in doing it all, and you know that, but I am working on it. But I am thrilled beyond words. That when your worst day comes, I can put my arm around you and tell you I'm aware of a God that is at hand. And he's more than able to take care of anything we ever get ourselves into. Come here, sweetheart. My desire for every mother and dad is to be able to bring kids into this world under the jurisdiction of a God that you're able to not only pass it down to the first one. Star, would you come here? On this side so your mom can put her arm around you. And she'll tell you.
He's able.
And then you're going to be able to tell your friends. He's helped me. I'm telling you, I have never had a God. All the money in the world could not replace the beauty of being able to share with my kids that when I die, you watched me. I was not my own. I belong to him. Where he leads me, I will follow. Because he's the only one I know that came on purpose to die so that you could live. Every morning you get up, even when you don't like your mom and dad not letting you go places, you ought to thank God that they know what the altar's about. They understand talking in tongues. They understand being baptized in a name that is as pure as the driven snow. They know a spirit that is godly and holy, and it will take you through the darkest chamber. And I'll just tell you one of the things, and I shared it with the adult class recently, but I was in a bad shape one time, and this has been 40 years ago, and this Holy Ghost thing is so beautiful and so real. And I mean, I'm in a bad thought pattern, not spiritually in the sense of fixing to quit Jesus. I'm just up against a wall. I felt like I was in a tunnel that didn't have an end. And this is what God spoke to me. It's just simple as a thought. He said, son, let me tell you something. Every tunnel that I allow you to go through that seems so dark, I have hidden a treasure in that tunnel so that when you go through it, I will shine a light on it. And you will have thought you just were going through a tunnel. But I've hidden a wisdom. I've hidden a love. And he said, at that moment, you'll reach up. And when you come out the other end of the tunnel, and I will make sure you get out, you will be richer for having gone through that experience. And suddenly it identified with the Word of God. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials. Some of you have been going through a trial in your life. You're living for God. And you've been in a tunnel. And God has hidden the wisdom of spiritual forgiveness. He has hidden the wisdom of spiritual authority. And your night tonight is the night when you declare yourself free from the law of sin and death. And you walk to Calvary and you say to Him, thank you for the darkness. Thank you for the misery, because now I'm going to bite into the freedom. Thank you, family. I'm going to join myself to the liberties of the Holy Ghost and the wisdom of God. And I know that firsthand, because at 17, He took me somehow down that thought trail. When I think what an embarrassment I could have been to you girls. When I think of what of an embarrassment I could have been to your mother. And I mean, I've been a little bit of an embarrassment already, so I'm aware of that. But when I think about the embarrassment I could have been, I can't imagine you having to watch me be drugged out of a drunken stupor. I can't imagine, Sterling, you having to have your mom tell you he started out good, but he got off on drugs. He just sort of lost his mind. Oh, you'd have still took care of me, I know that. But what an embarrassing thing. You ought to shout every day at your dad, mom's still trying to serve Jesus. You got a right. If your mother and daddy are clean and honorable, you got a right to really think this thing through and say, hey, look, what about these people that serve the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and they have hate systems? It may never be drugs. It may never be alcohol. Yeah, it may just be a hate system. And you just hate and hate, corrupted by. Could we stand? It's your choice again. And this service is about over. But I'll give you Jesus. A place. You say, well, Brother Meyer, I don't have that much faith. You don't have to have any. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that is so insignificantly small. He said, I'll tell you what you can do. You can not only turn your life around, but you can turn worlds around. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and cast into yonder sea. Doesn't mean it'll do it that minute, but that mountain will start disintegrating, because faith conquers mountains. Sing it, would you, singers? I'll never forget the day I thought it through, and how happy